Good morning. Today is Wednesday, the 29th of June. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor Michelle Bushnell. Good morning.
Good morning.
Drought giving you all kinds of fun right now?
The drought?
Yeah.
Well, the drought's twofold. The water is an issue, and then for the farmers and ranchers, the grass. And actually, the late rains.
They're related, right?
They are related. However, we have lots of grass right now because of the late rains and the warm weathers that came with those rains. I actually just had to move my horses off my pasture. They're getting a little fat, and my cows are fat and happy.
Oh, yep. Well, that's a story you don't hear much about.
No, and I actually have been checking throughout Humboldt, and the story seems to be the same. The grass production is up a lot this year. Compared to last year, I had no grass.
So perhaps the beef market will be okay?
I don't know if the
beef
market will be okay, but they're not going to have to feed their cows as much.
Fair enough.
Yep.
All righty, are you ready for our Why Do We Say That?
Sure.
Why do we say buffalo?
I don't know.
Oh, well, that was a rather straightforward answer. Spanish conquerors of Mexico encountered an incredible animal in 1519. According to their description, the creature was a rare Mexican bull with crooked shoulders, a hump on its back like a camel, and with hair like a lion. Subsequent encounters with a crooked back ox led amateurs to decide that it was akin to Asia's water buffalo. Naturalists rejected that idea and used bison to name the animal. They were too late to influence popular speech, many of who flocked to the great American West hoping to get rich from buffalo pelts. Capable of galloping 45 miles an hour, the buffalo is the most ornery creature on the continent. Not only perpetually yearning for a fight, it's very hard to kill. Expert riflemen in the early days sometimes put half a dozen balls into the head of the animal before touching a vital spot. The most distinctive of American beasts can also be the most frustrating, and as a result, we say we are buffaloed by anything that lends to bewilderment, frustration, or helplessness.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, Asian water buffalo. I wouldn't have made that leap.
Yeah, well, I mean, also, you know, they say it's hard to kill. You don't do a headshot. You do it.
No, not with those skulls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Ding.
Aim somewhere else.
Yeah, it comes back at you really quickly.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. So, impressions of the election. I know it's probably now, nothing really has changed with the updates.
No, and I think I'm hearing rumors of they're going to finalize on Friday. Which is, I think, a week earlier than anticipated. So, you know, we have some changes going on throughout Humboldt County that are, you know, going to take effect in January. And some of them may be a little sooner than January.
So as you consider the process, it's curious to me that it has so many updates. And that maybe that's a result of the motor voter thing. Okay, or the mail-out ballots. So, okay, I guess. Maybe working the kinks out a little bit. But the fellow who was in charge of the elections is in charge of the elections. You're smiling wryly. Theoretically, that one doesn't feel good. Are you guys having safety plans in place, or is Kelly Sanders kind of overseeing so that there's not anybody scratching their head or having any concerns?
I got some emails and calls, of course, from constituents saying, you know, how can he be counting ballots when he's on the ballot? I reached out to Kelly. It's not really my wheelhouse, except for to ask the question. So I reached out to Kelly and said, hey, you know, he did an interview with, I believe it was Lost Coast, that, you know, he quoted that he was counting ballots with his own names on them, which was an odd impression. And that's when people started reaching out to me. Kelly said that there's checks and balances in place, and there's, you know, a third person watching, and she was going to look into it just to make
sure. Just to let everybody sleep a little bit better.
Yeah, just because I had, you know, I don't know if other supervisors had gotten questions. I told Kelly, you know, I don't have any mindset that anything's
The appearance.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I'm not saying anything here. I'm saying that my constituents have reached out to me. Can you get me some answers? So I haven't, as of yet, heard back from her. And actually, you triggered. I will follow up with her today, just because I had those questions.
I suspect there's a runoff either way.
It looks like there's a runoff, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So whether it's a 2-point spread, a 5-point spread, whatever, runoff is a runoff.
Yep.
And you etch a sketch and you start over.
Yep. Yes. Yeah. And as far as taking so long to count the ballots, when I was running 2 years ago, I didn't realize the process was so long. And so, like in the primary, the night that the I was so naive that I thought, oh, okay, it's over. And the night of,
and then you shot the party fund all at once.
I just didn't know. And then I kept getting the text message updates, and I thought, okay. And then the next day, I kind of investigated a little bit, and they said, oh, we'll get another update in a week, and so forth and so on. But that specific election took 3 months, almost 3 months, and they got an extension because of COVID, because it was all remote at that time. And so that was 3 months before I knew that I got in a runoff with former Supervisor Estelle. And then also in the general, in November, it didn't finalize till, it was still COVID, of course. And so it was, didn't finalize till late, mid-December. So I had about 2 weeks before, I knew officially that I was going to be sworn in January. So that was a really long time, because I was in 8 months because I got in a runoff, so it was 8 or 9 months. And then, and then all of a sudden 2 weeks, you're like, you're in. And so, yeah, it was interesting.
Here's Santa, by the way.
Yeah. So some people, like Stacey Eads, she's definitely in. And so she has 6 months now to kind of absorb that. And Natalie Arroyo, it looks like she's definitely in. She's at 50, almost 53 or 54%. And so she has 6 months to absorb that and kind of get her life in order.
Yeah, square things up a little bit.
Yeah,
it's intriguing, because I think a lot of us would have thought that, okay, you do the tabulations in advance, whatever there is, so you release whatever, boom, and then whatever is turned in that day, if there are provisionals involved, okay, then you have to do that. And otherwise, you just line up all the voter machines, stuff them in, grind it out, and you're done.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not that simple. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Michelle Bushnell. Obviously, the big question that a lot of folks have is about the financial picture of the county.
Yep.
Whether it's the budget that's might be passed, whether it's the information that the state is looking for, the change in that department, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
What kind of timeline do you sense that there is before you kind of have an idea, so that when you vote on the budget, you have confidence that it's at least close?
So we actually had this discussion yesterday at the board. It was on our agenda, and we did a hiring freeze yesterday countywide, and also a freeze on budget allocations to departments, which was, left a sour taste in my mouth, where most of our departments are down employees, from DHHS being severely 40, I don't want to quote because I can't remember, but dramatically down. Planning and building's dramatic. You know, the sheriff's department is they're gaining, but they also need people. Almost every department, and so that was not an easy topic yesterday.
Was this like a 2 or 3 week?
3 months. Our CAO asked.
Can you shorten it? If everybody feels that it's okay?
I don't think so. I don't think we're going to, because I don't think we're going to know what our picture looks like before that time. Okay. And in anticipation of passing a realistic budget and knowing our numbers and our fund balances, you know, our CAO and staff, well, Tabitha Miller, who is the chief financial officer right now, you know, said we don't really have, it's a new position. So we, you know, have filled that with her, which she's doing great, but we don't have a picture of what our budget looks like, and to pass a budget without knowing,
still running in the dark,
yeah. And I asked, you know, will you know in 3 months? You're saying 3 months, and we're going to pass our budget hopefully the end of September, 1st of October, which is mandated that we have to by then. And the people that do that work assured us as the board that we'd have a clearer picture. And
well, sure, I mean, I think that would be natural, you know, it would be closer.
Well,
are they going to try to bring everything together, or take year three, bring that up to date, then bring year two up to date, and then okay, then we just kind of go best guess for last year?
Well, you know, one of the key things to know what you have in your bank account is doing your reconciliation. So that is something that is happening and is bringing that picture a little clearer. While all the work might not be done, if you can clear out your checks and you know what your fund balances are, then you have a better picture of what we have to work with.
So it's not the final document. It's just a general sense.
Yep. And so I'm not leaking anything here, but the news yesterday, we reported out that we're anticipating a switch in the auditor controller's office sooner than later. I think that'll be happening in the next few weeks. We've authorized our CAO to bring in an interim and to get some help in that office to kind of help things
just
along.
Make it happen,
yeah. So that we can, you know, it's not a comfortable position for any department head to be in right now with a hiring freeze. We did last year through negotiations, we did a large pay increase across the board.
Yeah.
Yep. And that, you know, definitely has impacted our general fund. I just know that critical.
Well, and the marijuana.
Well, there is no Measure S.
Playback, yeah.
Yeah, 85% of Measure S was suspended this year. So that is also a hit to our general fund. So there's a lot of things that have compounded to get us to where we are right now without a clear picture.
Which is some place that you don't know where you are.
Nope, don't know.
So
don't know. And then also because we've been late on all of our reporting, our state and federal dollars are at risk for those grant funds coming through.
That's really kind of the biggie, isn't it?
It's huge.
Try to open those channels back up.
Yep, it's huge. It's huge too.
Now, what is required for that to happen?
You have to do your audits yearly.
All three of them have to be brought up to speed.
Well, your final you have to do your audits to know that the state and federal monies. They say, we want to know that you've spent those monies accordingly, or we're not going to give you any more. They've already given us extensions, leeways. You know, for the last 3 years, we've kind of been kind of chasing whatever, and they've been very patient with us, and now they're saying no. You know, workforce board development is on cash hold, and that's one reason.
Could you send a note, or the CAO just send it? Hey guys, here's the plan. Here's what's going on.
They've done that.
Let them know there's change afoot.
Yep, the CAO's done that and has been doing that. The problem is a lot of the mandated reporting, it comes out of the auditor controller's office, and there hasn't been a lot of communication there. So while the CAO can say we're working on it, they haven't had access to all the vital information that they need to pass those that communication along that the state and the feds say, okay, we're comfortable. And a lot of it's just it's mandated that you have to do it.
It's a black and white.
It's black and white.
Yeah.
Yep. And they, although have given us extensions, they're done with that. So we're hoping to get that in order so that we can pull down our state and federal dollars, especially for DHHS and Public Works. It's really vital to keeping
our... You can't just say one more time?
We did a one more time 2 times ago.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
That things would be taken care of by then.
Yeah. Yep. So we're hopeful, you know, to have a... a clear picture in 3 months, but the reality is it's going to be a year before we really know what's going on in our financial departments.
Rock solid knowledge.
Rock solid. I mean, I think a year is optimal, but it still could be a little bit iffy of what's going on.
Oh, that's a crab, by the way.
I know. I'm like, what are we getting through?
You country girl. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County 2nd District Supervisor Michelle Bushnell. When you consider some of the different things of the last couple years, when you were talking about the elections, you were, COVID, of course. Has COVID become the new Prop 13? The excuse, the reason why, you can always point to it, nobody's going to question it. Of course there were changes, but there's changes anytime there's a new governor. When there's a change at the supervisor, when there's a department head change, there's always change going on. But it seems like that's become the whipping boy right now.
I think to a certain extent, COVID at the time that it happened it was a viable reason.
Certainly.
Back then. I was just having this conversation about my own store in Southern Humboldt and, how the fear factor when COVID first came out, I practically wore a hazmat suit, spraying my freight with alcohol, left it outside to sit,
You could have worked at the nuclear plant.
Yes, I could have. And so as I worked in and around people, it became more comfortable. I realized that I'm not catching COVID as easy as thought, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, normalized.
Normalized. Yeah. So, cautious, but normalized. So now two months past, I'm quite frankly tired of hearing, oh, we're behind because of COVID. I understand that it did, it really did halt things for a while.
And there's some pent up.
And there stuff. Is, there sure. is, there is. And it's, the other part of it is that people are still getting COVID and mm-hmm. we've kind of had a run in the last few months of people. And so you're missing 10 days of work or, whatever the work, whatever your process to get through COVID is. And that does delay things and it does impact departments.
I had a buddy, yes, earlier this week, wasn't yesterday, which means it's Monday, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Share that some employees of her staff were using it as an excuse. Okay, you can't do the job, but you can come in and you can do X, Y, Z. No, I'm in Sacramento. I'm in Fresno.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, with family.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Well, there's always going to be those people that take advantage, and unfortunately, there just are. I do know for the county departments, we have had some departments in the last few weeks that have had, what they call a breakout, and there are
A couple of folks on the staff.
There are more than normal out with, yeah. And it's a 10-day process, and then, or at least up to a 10-day process, and then if you're sicker than normal, it could be longer. And then there's also, I don't know if you've had COVID, but it's not a fun thing to go through, and you definitely...
Yeah, nobody's jumping up and down.
No, and your recovery after, depending on how bad you've had it, you tend to be a little more tired and a little more sluggish, and your brain seems to be a little bit clouded. So
well, maybe I have then.
But I think that, yes, that was a reason before when everything was at a standstill, Right now, it could be slowing things just a tad if a department is had an overabundance of positives.
I think a little bit is understandable, nobody's going to get too excited about that.
Yep.
But to keep using it as a reference point over and over and over and over.
Yes, I don't think that it's the reason right now why things are continuing forward to it's not the reason.
No, I would ask, you know, if that is the case, and not questioning that it isn't, then why haven't you changed your procedures and protocols to accommodate this so that we're back up on our feet and running?
Well, we were doing masking throughout the county, which people are torn whether they want to or they don't, or whether it's necessary or whether it works. And it seemed to be when we were doing that, in January, February, March, we didn't have as many positives. I'm just going by the data. And then we were out of, we were low positive. So, okay, we're going to go away from masking. Everybody's sick of masks. I understand that. And so then we went away from the masking policy. The Omicron strain seems to be, I'm just going by the data here. It seems to be, you seem to catch it quite easy. It doesn't seem to be as potent as the Delta was, or, so it, we're not masking now. And so people are getting a little bit more regularly, I think.
Well, and there's a crud that's roaring around the last little bit too. And it's like,
Yes.
It's there. So let's realize that, accommodate that, and move forward.
Yes. I think that it's doable, but I do think areas are still impacted by, 4 to 5 people that have gotten sick and are out, and especially, in very service oriented departments.
So with the hiring freeze that was
yesterday
initiated, is that going to complicate things?
Yes.
Or does that make things consistent? Okay, folks, now you know for certain this is what you're going to be dealing with for the next 3 or 4 months. Figure it out.
I think it will complicate things. And I think that any positions that were being advertised as of yesterday are going to be filled. If they were recruiting the day before, you get to fill those.
So if the process is ongoing.
If the process was in motion, then you get to fill those positions.
That's fair.
And then also, if you critically essential employees will be.
Oh, you didn't pull that phrase, did you?
I didn't pull that phrase. Our CAO pulled that phrase.
How would you like to be a not?
Well,
recognized
that was,
as a critical da-da-da-da-da. You know,
that was
so
my
optional?
Question. My question was, what do you consider critical to what I consider critical? Because the planning department in my district touches every bit
big
of...
Big time critical. Yeah.
Very critical, and they are very low on planners right now. Tabitha said, safety. Public safety is a critical position. Well...
Now that can be defined in 15
different
ways.
I think critically essential or critical to the movements of what happens in Humboldt County is dependent on who you are, it could be a different thought process. Because if I'm building a house and, October's the end of the construction season and I have to wait another year, that's pretty critical to a lot of people and their finances and whether they can feed their families. So what's critical to one is not critical to another, and it really...
So who is the point person on critical definition?
The CAO's office, but there is an overhaul that it could come to the board if that department head feels that they're not getting what they need.
So it's the department head, then, not the consumer.
Correct. Yep.
14 filters and we'll get there.
It's not going to be fun. I wasn't very happy about it, but I do understand that it's also not any department head's fault. It's not the CAO's fault. It's the fault of a mess our finances are in right now without having the knowledge.
So mid-September-ish?
Mid-September, end of September, I think when we adopt the budget, then if things look good, we'll lift that hiring freeze. That's the anticipation.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:44.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to 7 cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS. News and information time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Michelle Bushnell. Michelle, Virginia coded it as great news. She was almost euphoric. The fact that the building and planning department head / Fort Bragg city manager now is / building and planning department head.
Yep.
Something to be said for stability.
Consistency throughout.
Consistency, yep. Recognition that things are better, may not be perfect, but they're going in the right direction. There are a lot of potential things that are in there, and a 15% rate pay increase.
Well, the pay increase, you know, his department has grown from X amount of dollars to X amount of dollars, which would have, he was eligible for that some time ago, and it didn't happen. Is that why he stayed? No, I don't think so. Does it help him out? Probably, you know, but the thing for me with the planning and director, building director, is consistency across our organization, across our county. Director Ford's been in there for six years, and there's a lot of things right now that are happening that we're going to be needed an interim. We were going to have to, you know, recruit for that position. Then once we got someone to fill that position, which would have been maybe 6 months, then they would have to catch themselves up on Humboldt County codes and regulations. And for me, I was looking at
during a housing crunch,
during the you know, inflation that's going on, during critical times right now. For me and my district and for the county in general, I was looking at a stagnant time of a year. Am I thrilled he's staying? Absolutely. Do I trust and I work well with John and I do trust him. Do I think he's good for our county? Absolutely. And whatever the reason that he decided to stay, I'm thrilled.
So with that in place, since Kurt Girard, doing the bobblehead. I've not heard anybody say not responsive from the electeds. Better is the mantra.
That Director Ford's better?
Everybody along the way. It's better. It's better than it was.
Yeah.
Better than it was. Better than it was. Nobody says it's great.
It's not great.
So whatever that gap is,
mm-hmm.
I tend to focus on gap management mm-hmm. an awful lot. So whatever the gap is now a time to be able to make some of those changes? Or because there's so much anticipated workload coming through and the hiring freeze, it's like we're just going to kind of lower our head and try to make it through, and we'll worry about trying to do that down the road when there's a little bit more staffing, there's a little bit more cash flow, there's a little bit more stuff.
You know, nothing happens overnight, and Director Ford and his staff.
Oh, you sucked into that one in two years, didn't you?
That was a depressing year for me, realizing that nothing happens overnight. And I told my husband one day 6 months ago, I'm like, I'm not helping. I'm not making effective change. And he said, you are. It's slower than you wanted. Recognize that. And it was for me. I really had to
come to grips. Yeah,
I had to come to grips with that. But for Director Ford and his staff, they are lean on their staff also. They are lean on senior planners. There are many and lots of great employees over there. And just recognizing how to get it done and get things through. Planning and building is not black and white. I've asked him a million times, is it black and white? And he says no. But getting it is a slow process, which unfortunately when people are utilizing the planning and building department, they want it to happen right now. And it is painful.
It gets to the point where you've got, okay, now I can.
Yeah.
And why does it take more than a couple of hours just to kind of do a quick look through? And,
Yes.
Well. Good news.
It is good news. It is good news.
And we'll work on better news.
And we will keep plugging away.
All right. So many areas.
Yes.
Thanks for coming by, Michelle.
Thanks for having me.
See everybody tomorrow.